Welcome to the online ministry of La Jolla United Methodist Church, a congregation of faithful Christians right along the Southern California coast. Together, we seek to grow in our individual spirituality and in connected community with one another. All are invited to join in this vibrant faith community. For more information, visit our website at lajollaunitedmethodist.org. May you be enriched in the hearing of these words, and may you receive and enjoy God's blessing.
This morning's scripture reading comes from 1 Kings 19, verses 1 through 9. King Ahab told Jezebel everything Elijah had done and how Elijah had killed all the prophets with a sword. So Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah, saying, "May the gods punish me terribly if by this time tomorrow I don't kill you just as you killed those prophets." When Elijah heard this, he was afraid and ran for his life, taking his servant with him. When they came to Beersheba in Judah, Elijah left his servant there. Then Elijah walked for a whole day into the desert. He sat down under a bush and asked to die. "I have had enough, Lord," he prayed. "Let me die. I am no better than my ancestors." Then he lay down under the tree and slept. Suddenly, an angel came to him and touched him. "Get up and eat," the angel said. Elijah saw near his head a loaf baked over coals and a jar of water. So he ate and drank. Then he went back to sleep. Later, the Lord's angel came to him a second time. The angel touched him and said, "Get up and eat. If you don't, the journey will be too hard for you." So Elijah got up and ate and drank. The food made him strong enough to walk for 40 days and nights to Mount Sinai, the mountain of God. There, Elijah went into a cave and stayed all night. The word of God for the people of God.
So I have two adult daughters. My oldest daughter will be... We'll be 30 in a couple of weeks. She graduated from University of Virginia with a bachelor's and a master's degree and taught high school there for 6 years, and a year ago moved down to Alabama. She's there just long enough to get her PhD at Auburn, and then we'll leave Alabama, go somewhere else. Mom is hoping for California, but we shall see. My younger daughter got married just about 2 years ago, and 9 months and 3 days ago, I got a promotion from mom to Mimsy. He has stolen my heart, and I now understand what grandparents say about being grandparents. Nothing like it. I don't have words for it yet. For the first several weeks, I spent most of that time with my daughter and son-in-law and just said, "I will come and I will be there, and you don't know now what you will need, but I will be there and we'll figure out what it is that you need." So one of the things I reminded them both those first couple weeks is, when he sleeps, you sleep. When he sleeps, you sleep, and I'll cook and I'll clean and I'll do those things. "No, no, no, Mom, we're fine." And then they realized, oh, when he sleeps, we should sleep. Because those long nights of waking up every few hours to change a diaper and to feed him were as difficult for them as they were for those of us who raised newborns. Eventually, he began to sleep longer stretches of time and then finally reached that pinnacle for them of newborn parenting. He slept through the night, which meant that once they could settle in and realize he was fine, they then slept through the night. And some of that fog that comes over us when we don't sleep well started to clear. Do you know that feeling that kind of weighs on you when you have trouble sleeping? when you're not getting enough sleep. I feel it too. There are some times that I can identify why I am having a particular lack of being able to sleep. There are things that we worry about. There are things that we are anxious about. And those don't stop in our brain when we close our eyes and lay down. Sometimes there's a problem that I'm trying to solve, and it won't be quiet while I'm trying to sleep so that I could better solve it, and it just runs through my head all night. As I was coming up for my ordination interviews, I had dreams about the entire Board of Ordained Ministry coming into my church on a Sunday morning, robed, stoled, completely silent. So unsettling, but I knew where that was coming from as well. There are some nights that I lay down, and instead of just going to sleep, I replay what I wish I could redo from the day. And then when that tape is over, I move to tomorrow and begin to solve whatever I don't even know yet is coming tomorrow. And then sometimes I just can't sleep, right? There are times we know and times we don't know why. I did some quick research, and on average, according to the National Sleep Foundation, we as adults should be getting somewhere between 7 and 9 hours of sleep a night. Does anybody fall in that? I'm going to put my hand down because I do not, right? We need a decent amount of sleep every night so that our body and our brains can repair and rejuvenate. And when they don't, especially over extended periods of time, when we don't get that time, it affects how we function. It affects our moods. It affects us being able to live and act and work and do the things that are full potential. In addition to getting enough sleep, we also, our brains and our bodies and our spirits, need enough rest. And those are different things. Rest is a time to engage in activities that refresh us and rejuvenate us and give us peace. And those can look like a lot of different things. For those of you who are the creative types, you might find rest through painting or gardening or maybe woodworking. Some of you rest when you're active, hiking or swimming or walking or running. Some of us find rest in reading. Some of us find rest as we settle into the sands of the beach. I believe that as people of faith, we look to Jesus for how to live, and part of how Jesus lived was to rest. One of the places we see this is in Mark's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 35 says this. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. If you're a morning person like I am, the quiet of the morning can be a beautiful time to rest with Jesus. If you're a night owl, the quiet of the night can provide you that place. The words of the 23rd Psalm may be familiar to some of you. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in a green pastures, and he restores my soul. Did you know that sheep don't lay down unless they feel safe? When there is no threat of fear, when they are not hungry, when nothing is disturbing them, then they will lay down and rest. So Psalm 23 reminds us that God gives us what we need so that we feel safe and feel fed and have nothing disturbing us so that we, like the sheep, may lay down in whatever a lush green pasture is for you to rest. And in that rest, our souls are restored. The psalmist reminds us that in God we find what we need to be able to rest. Rest comes when we feel safe, when we're not afraid, when nothing is pulling at our attention. And while it may seem as if rest should come easy, it doesn't always work that way. In fact, often we need to prepare ourselves so that we can rest. We need to create the space for us to step into and to rest, which just seems so backward to me, that we have to exert and put work into allowing ourselves to rest, but I think it is part of the human condition. A couple of years ago, I spent a few days at a tiny house in Agwanga. Do you all know this town, Agwanga? I had only been in San Diego maybe a year and a half, and I thought, this is a made-up town. This is not real, but it is this tiny little remote town sort of east of Temecula. So I found a tiny house and booked several nights. And while there were other houses nearby that you could see at night when their lights came on, it had this feeling of being quite remote. And it was the first time I had done something like that alone. And to be honest, I was excited and I was a little bit nervous about going. I was worried about having 3 days, just my brain and myself. I was worried about what I would do in those days with time and with quiet. And I was a little bit worried that I would be afraid to be alone at night in a place that I had never been. It was a time in my life where there were some big things that were pulling at my attention. It was a time when the future felt uncertain, and I was tired in all of the ways that a person can be tired. So I did what I do. I made a plan. I was going to read, I was going to rest, and I was going to do sermon and worship planning. And so I packed books, one for pleasure and too many for work. I did some meal prepping so that I could just heat up some soup and have simple dinners. I took my knitting, I took a journal, and I downloaded some movies to watch. I was afraid that I wouldn't know what to do with 3 days, and so I took way too much stuff with me. And it ended up being such a lovely few days. The air was beautiful and clean and fresh. I had sunrise in the morning and sunset in the evening and quiet at night like I hadn't experienced in a long time. And that quiet that I experienced was not just the lack of sound from being remote. It was a quiet that managed to work its way into my spirit. Elijah is the main character of today's scripture, and he was at a point in his life where he needed some quiet in his soul. Just before this scripture, Israel has been split into the northern kingdom of Israel and the southern kingdom of Judah, and it is into this context of disruption and turmoil that Elijah emerged as a prophet who spoke against the idolatry and worship of Baal. At the end of chapter 18, there is a showdown to determine who the one true God is. Elijah challenges the prophet of Baal to a contest. And when Elijah's God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God who we follow today, proved to be more powerful, Elijah didn't come out on top. He found himself in trouble with Ahab and Jezebel, the rulers of the northern kingdom. In fact, so much trouble that Jezebel had sent word to Elijah that she was going to have him killed. And so Elijah, rightly so, was afraid, and he ran. He and his traveling servant traveled more than 100 miles. And when they got to their destination, Elijah left his servant, and he went a day's journey further into the wilderness. And there he sat down under a bush and prayed that he would die. In today's scripture, he offers this explanation to God. I have had enough, Lord, let me die. And then he laid down and went to sleep. Have you ever found yourself at that point of desperation where you've reached the end of what you can do to help yourself and you say, I give up. I cannot take any more of this. I can't do any more of this on my own. I just give up. one of the mantras that I picked up at some point and use often, not as often anymore with my daughters, is to tell them when they call or when they come to me and they're frustrated or worried or upset about something, I say, drink some water, have a snack, take a nap. Water and food and sleep don't fix the problems we're facing when we, like Elijah, say, I'm done, I give up. They don't make those difficulties go away. They aren't problems that solve themselves, but they allow us to rest and to be nourished and to be hydrated so that we are stronger and better able to face what it is that we are facing. So Elijah is napping, and after he slept for a bit, the scripture tells us that an angel came and touched Elijah and said, "Get up and eat." And next to his head was a loaf of bread and a jar of water. And so Elijah had some water and ate some bread and went back to sleep. And again, an angel came and woke Elijah, and the angel said, "Get up and eat. If you don't, the journey will be too difficult for you." So Elijah drank some water and ate some bread and found that he had the strength and the energy to get up and walk. He was strong enough then to walk for 40 days and nights. Do you hear the echo of the flood of 40 days and 40 nights to Mount Sinai? And when he got there, he went into a cave. Scripture says he stayed all night. I want to say that he had a nap. When Elijah, you see, found himself in a desperate situation, when he was out of a plan of his own, he spoke a word of surrender and said, "God, I give up." And God stepped in and said, "Drink some water, have a, and take a." You see, God knew that Elijah wasn't just tired, thirsty, and hungry. Elijah had reached the point of exhaustion. And exhaustion makes it difficult for us to concentrate. It affects our balance and our coordination. It causes mood swings. It can prevent us from doing things that we like to do. And it prevents us from doing the things that God asks us to do. So I mentioned it with the kids earlier, but my younger daughter, both of my girls, but my younger daughter has like a doctorate in being hangry. And at one point when she was maybe 20, she had come home for the weekend from college, and her then boyfriend and I had gone down to LAX to pick her up, and I made the mistake, she was 20, I thought we were past it, of not having snacks in the car. And we were trying to get to In-N-Out in Santa Clarita, because when you move out of California, that's what they want when they come home, is In-N-Out. There was traffic on the 5, and I realized how long it was going to take us to get. And so I turned around and I said to her, "Katie Bug, I'm about to say something to you that I have not said in a really long time." And she looked at me, and we were looking in the mirror, and I said, "You may not speak until you have eaten." And her then boyfriend looked at me, and I was like, "It's about to be okay," because he had not ever experienced this hangry that comes out of her. But that was our sign to each other. She knew that if I said, "No more words until you have put food in your mouth," that she wasn't going to say any more words. It's important for us to take a break sometimes. It's important for us to rest. Society tells us that we have to keep pushing, we have to keep striving, we have to work harder and faster and more efficiently so that we can produce more, and maybe sometimes we tell ourselves that that's what's expected. But when we don't rest, when we don't nourish our bodies, our spirits, and our minds, we reach a point where all we have is the energy to say, "I give up." Elijah found himself at that point, "I give up, God." And then an angel came and said, "Have food and have water and have sleep." When I went away to Aglanga for those few days, it actually wasn't my idea to go in the first place. It was some family and some friends and my therapist and some colleagues who said, "You have a lot going on right now. Why don't you find a place to go away for a couple of days?" the community, my community, cared for me by encouraging me to go, by reassuring me that someone would be available for pastoral care if the need arose. Someone stayed with my dog so that I didn't have to worry about her. Someone gave me a journal to use while I was there, and people prayed for me while I was away to work and to rest. Elijah needed the angel's encouragement, and I needed my community's encouragement. And maybe you find yourself in a situation today when you, where you need to be encouraged to rest in some way. And so as your guest preacher and as your new friend, I give you permission to find a way to rest. I give you permission to rest before you get to the point of giving up. So how do you find rest? What renews your body and your mind and your spirit? I'll share just a couple of the ways that are helpful to me, but I do so knowing that what works for me is not going to work for all of you, but I hope that it will spur your thinking and your creativity in this week or the weeks to come. Technology is not my friend when it comes to rest. Scrolling through social media, checking emails are not restful for me. They keep me connected when what I'm wanting and needing is to disconnect. They are necessary. I have responsibilities, but I also have the ability and the power to create boundaries about when I am connected and when I am disconnected. On the flip side of technology, for me, is reading and knitting. Sorry, and walking. I've developed a new pattern that on Friday or Saturday mornings, I take myself to breakfast and I take a book and I sit and I eat and I read and I have coffee and I watch the people and I allow my mind and my spirit to rest. A consistently busy schedule is not restful for me. In those weeks, it is difficult to catch my breath, and when they come back to back, it makes it worse. Not last week, but the week before was our vacation Bible school. It was the week of our monthly board meeting. It was our summer dinner church, and it was Pride Week. And that left me with no free night in that week. So last week, I encouraged my staff and myself to take some extra time away from the office and away from our computers. Sometimes finding the way to rest means creating a balance. And the other side of that is that I can schedule rest for myself. I will confess that I am not great at doing this. It is a possibility and it is an option, but I can talk myself out of it really, really easily. Tomorrow, I have a coffee meeting with a colleague at 10, and I realized yesterday I was trying to figure out if I get to the office at this time and leave at this time, I can get some stuff done before. And then I said, Michelle, or you could go to coffee and get to the work around 11:30, and it will be fine. So for me, what it comes down to is this. Am I listening to God's voice for direction and guidance about rest, or is it my voice and society's voice or someone else's voice where I'm choosing to put my attention and seeking to be led? Scripture journaling and prayer journaling feed my soul because they connect me to Jesus, who is the source of rest. In today's scripture, Elijah needed to be nourished and rested so that he would have the strength to continue to be a servant of God. God's compassion and care allowed for Elijah to rest, to be restored, and to be refreshed. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Because when we listen for God's leading, when we live as Jesus taught us to live, we will find those opportunities to rest, to be nourished, to feel safe, to be content, to be provided for. When we rest, we are better able to feel and know God's love and better able to share God's love in a world and to people who desperately need it. So your homework for this week, for each day of this week is to have something to eat and have a drink of water and take a nap. Amen.